Welcome to the second UCraft podcast. Our topic is validation of computerized systems in the GCP environment. My name is Simone Bucerius and I am Quality Assurance Manager at FGK Clinical Research. We are a CRO in Germany with our headquarters located in Munich. And with me is my colleague Günther Wölfel. He's one of our senior e-solutions managers.
Hello, I'm Günther and also welcome from my end.
So why do we want to talk about validation? Why is this topic important? The reason is that the number of computerized systems used in clinical trials has increased tremendously in the last years. You have your ECRFs, you have EPROs, CTMS, ETMFs, and so on. And these e-solutions become more and more complex. And in clinical trials, of course, you need reliable data. And that you can only achieve when you can rely on your computerized systems that collect this data, or create the data, or modify them in any manner. So let us look at the definition of validation. In the FDA guideline on general principles of process validation, it says that validation is establishing a documented evidence that provides a high degree of assurance that a specific process will constantly produce a product meeting its predetermined specification and quality attributes. We have to adapt this to GCP, of course. We do not have a product, we have data. And concerning quality attributes, we do not have quality attributes that we can measure, like weight or size of an object that we produce. Our quality attribute is data correctness and data integrity. And the claim for validation is not new. It's already stated in ICH GCP from 1997. And with the addendum, ICH E6R2, the concept of risk assessment then has been implemented.
So when talking about literature, what are actually the essential guidelines on that topic?
If you want to get familiarized with the topic, there's really a lot of literature that helps you to understand the process. For example, from the WHO, the guidelines on validation, that's Appendix 5, validation of computerized systems. A very well-known one, I think, is the GAMP guide. We here currently have version 5. And GAMP stands for Good Automated Manufacturing Practice. So the origin of this guideline comes from the GMP sector. But in the past, the scope has been expanded to other GXP environments. And that, of course, also includes the GCP field. It's important to know here that this is not legally binding, since it's a guideline, and really in the sense of a best practice guide. But if this guideline is followed, then it's very likely that the requirements of audits and inspections that you are faced with will be met. And it really provides a well-structured process that can be followed. And the basis here is that different categories are defined. And based on these GAMP categories, the systems have different validation requirements. So when we have a look at these categories, we have GAMP categories 1, 3, 4, and 5. Category 2 was existing in the past, but this is not used anymore. We have category 1. This is infrastructure software, for example, performance monitors. We have category 3. These are non-configured products. We say commercial off the shelf. And that's the easiest category regarding validation. Category 4 is configured software. That means it has been configured to meet the user-specific needs. And category 5 is custom software. And this is software that was really developed for a user-specific process. But let's come to another document. So for us working in the GCP field, another document is a core document, let's put it like this, and that's the PIC-S guidance. It's a good practices for computerized systems in regulated GXP environments. And that is because according to Utrolex Volume 10 Clinical Trial Guidelines Annex 3, this PIC-S guide is to be used for the inspection of GCP systems by the EU GCP inspectors. So that, of course, is the most important document then. So before we go on, I think it's probably helpful to define what a computerized system is, because only when we know what this is, then we will know which aspects we need to consider in our validation process.
That's a good approach. So let's start with the definition of a computer system. So all of you are familiar with something like that. So this system is composed of all computer hardware, firmware, and software controlling the operation of the computer. When this is now added by the controlled function or process for which the computer system is used, then we speak of the computerized system. That means we may need additional equipment, we need the people to operate this computer system, and for this they need operation procedures. All this has to be part of your validation strategy.
So can you give an overview maybe of the validation strategy?
Sure. First, you have to decide whether or not you have to validate your system. To make this decision, it is important to define criteria in advance that help you to decide if validation is necessary. For example, validation is needed when patient safety data are managed via the system. If a validation is necessary, a validation plan must be drawn up in which the validation project is outlined. It should define the documents that need to be created, responsibilities for generation, review, and approval of the different deliverables. Which documents are required depends on the GAMP category in which the system was classified, as you have already mentioned. What you always will need are the user requirement specifications, the so-called URS. The URS describes the system from a user's perspective with all the processes required. So when you have defined them, then you can classify them in priority levels. In our GXP environment, for example, you will have URSs that are based on regulatory requirements. So you would give them the priority level high. Then you have another group of URS that are essential but not based on regulatory requirements. You would classify them on a medium priority level. And then you have the useful functions that are nice to have. So this would be on a low priority level. Once you have defined your URS, you link them to a risk assessment. In the risk assessment, you document all the potential business and compliance risks, as well as strategies that will help you to mitigate those risks. For category 3 products, so products that are commercial and just bought off the shelf, you will continue with a user acceptance test, also known as the UAT. In a test plan for that UAT, you will document your testing strategy, so everything what you want to show and want to prove to see if your system fulfills your requirements. And in the test report, you will document the results of those tests performed according to your test plan. Now you are nearly there. After you have written your test report, you only need the validation report to finalize the process. In this validation report, you summarize all deliverables and all activities, and the report actually provides, the validation report actually provides the final evidence that your system is validated. If you have some open follow-up actions due to deviations in your testing, for example, you also have to state this here in the validation report. That's all that is needed for a category 3 product, a product that is just bought off the shelf. If you are in the situation that you have to validate a configured software, a software that is configured for the needs in your company, then we are in the area of category 4 in the GAMP classifications. That means some additional work has to be done. So you have to think about your specifications, you have to specify your configuration items in a configuration specification. And also this has to be tested and documented to validate your system. Concerning the last category, category 5 in the GAMP classification, the custom software that is programmed only for you, I cannot say a lot because we're not working with software like this in our company.
Yeah, that's right. So when it comes to the point that a system needs to be validated, what would you recommend from your point of view? What must be taken into account for the daily work?
Most important, don't underestimate the time that is needed for validation. It takes always longer than you expect. This is because you need appropriate capacities for the validation and the conduct of the tests. And you need these appropriate capacities in both terms, in time and personnel. So you need people that know the system, that are familiar with the system. Someone that does not know and doesn't work with the system will not be able to define the user requirement specification to say actually what is required, what is expected from the system. So just this as an example. You will have to consider your life cycle management. So what is, how you handle new versions of the documents. You will need to include change control procedures and periodic reviews, which again is time consuming. Some vendors will provide validation packages that might be helpful in setting up your own documentation.
That's the point here. So it's important that everything is documented. Because in an audit or an inspection from health authorities, you need to be able to show your documentation. And in this context, it's also important to refer to a document that was recently published by the European Medicines Agency. It was published in April 2020. And that's the Notice to Sponsors on Validation and Qualification of Computerized Systems in Clinical Trials. Here it is clearly stated that if you cannot demonstrate the validated state of a computerized system, this is likely to pose a risk to data integrity and data reliability. And that in turn may result in a recommendation from the GCP inspectors not to use the data in the context of a marketing authorization application. And another very clear statement here is that the sponsor is ultimately responsible for the validation of the computerized system and for providing the documented evidence on the validation process.
And this notice also refers to another important aspect, what I want to quickly point out. It's the contract between you and your vendors, you and your providers. In an inspection, for example, you can get into the situation that you are not only asked to show your own validation documentation, but you also have to show the documentation of the vendor's validation. And this is really irrespective of the number of sponsors that are using already the system, or if the system is already a long time on the market. So just have a look. Check your contracts, and these contracts should give you the access rights to the vendor's documentation.
That is right. I think we could talk very much longer about validation. So if you're interested to get to know more about it, you are very welcome to attend the UCROF webinar relating to this topic. For now, we say goodbye.